Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to have fun tonight. You say, why? We're all going to do something some of us have done before, but we're going to take a spiritual gift test. And we're going to, and this, the test is not inspired, it's not infallible, but it can help us. I'm going to go through the lesson quickly. And then we're all going to have a spiritual gift test. We're going somewhere. and then we'll talk a little bit about that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Does anybody not have a handout? Anybody need a handout? Anybody need a handout? Right here. A handout. You guys got any more handouts back there? Right here. Thanks, James. Anybody else right back here? Erica? Who else? Anybody else right here? Charlie? Right over there? All in the back? Are you waving or you need a handout? Both. That's a wave. This means I need a handout. Right in the back. Who else? Right here. Right here, guys. Anybody on the patio needs a handout. If you guys can help with that, that'll be good. All the way in the back. I took the test today. I've taken the test before, and I enjoyed it, and it just reaffirmed what I knew my spiritual gift was, and it was an encouragement. I'm like, wow, this is the gift that God has given me, and I can be good at it, not because I'm good, but because God gave it to me. And so everybody here, you have special value. And the devil tries to get you to think you're bad and you're worthless and you can't do anything. And that's not true. And so let's go through this real quickly, Ephesians chapter 4. Why don't we stand? We'll stand as we read. We're going to go through the lesson, then we're going to give you a discipleship, new discipleship booklet we have, and then we're going to take the spiritual gift, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 10. He that descended, Ephesians 4:10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, excuse me, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some of these gifts no longer exist, and we won't talk about that tonight, and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, if you're a Christian here tonight, you're a saint, okay? Saints aren't somebody that, you know, earn certain merit because they've done great things, or they're not some little statue that you put on your dashboard. Christians are saints. And so God is saying there's gifts to the church to help perfect or to complete or mature the saints, okay? Then once as or in the process as they're maturing, he says, for the verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Please look up here. I really believe God wants us to communicate this. We're all supposed to be working in the ministry. Everybody. Now, you might not start working in the ministry the first Sunday you get saved, but we're all to be working in the ministry. We're coming after you in a good way. We're doing everything we can to help you. By the way, you're going to be fulfilled working in the ministry. That's our purpose. We read last week, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better, but it's much more needful for you that I stay down here. Father, help us as we just do all we can to represent you, to help our people to be complete, to be perfect or complete, mature, so that they can do the work of the ministry. What a joy it is working in the ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look, if you're real fast, if you would, Romans chapter 12. If you have a pen, and if you write in your Bibles, it's a good thing to write in your Bibles, okay? Circle, we're going to have you circle seven words, okay? Seven words. I'm not teaching on spiritual gifts tonight. I preach a whole sermon on a Sunday morning. But Everybody here has at least, I would believe, and we're not going to discuss it, one motivational gift. There's one spiritual gift God's given you. Okay? Now, we've cultivated other gifts and so forth, but let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For we, who needs a pen? Raise your hand, because we're going to do a lot of writing tonight. You're going to take a test. Who needs a pen? Raise your hand if you need a pen. Let's give you pens right now. Everybody get a pen. Everybody get a pen. Okay, right over here. Over here. The children should have a pen too, because you're gonna do something too. If we have enough. If we don't have enough, let's have the adults and the teenagers have pens, and the children will have to share. Okay? Nathan Jr. right over here needs a pen. You got any more, Oscar? Right here, little Nate. Okay? Got it? Okay, here we go. Verse 4 of Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one, body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, now if you write in your Bible, I write in my Bible, circle prophecy. Okay, it's not the Old Testament prophecy. It's a different. It's not you could predict the future. That's not what that is. Okay? Prophecy, circle that. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7. Or ministry, circle the word ministry there, please. That's another gift. That's two. That's the servant gift. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, that's number three. It's teacher, circle that. So you got prophecy, ministry. If you're a Christian here tonight, you have one of these seven gifts. And God willing, you're going to find out what gift it is tonight. Okay? Many times they'll say, how many know your spiritual gift? And maybe 20%, 25%, hopefully we'll find out tonight. Ministry, or teacheth. Okay, so there's three. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth, circle that. The exhorter, that's my spiritual gift. I was reaffirmed. I took the test again today. I'm like, wow, that's me. The exhorter. Or on exhortation. Or he that giveth. Circle that. So we got prophecy, ministry, teacher, or teacheth, exhorter, giveth. See, what's that? That's the giver. We need some more of those in our church. You say, oh, you're only supposed to give if you're a giver. No. Givers make a lot of money, and they give a lot of money away. They have the ability to make money. They're very good with resources. And they just have a huge heart to help with their resources. A giver giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, circle that one. It's the organizer or the ruler. That's the one that does nothing but tells everybody else how to do it. Okay? By the way, you need organizers in the church. Organizers in ministry. Okay? With diligence, and he that showeth mercy, circle the mercy. With cheerfulness. There's seven. Okay, now let's look at our outline, because we're going to need about 15 or 20 minutes to take the test and grade it. Okay, number one. Look at your outline. Please. Our new simple four-step plan for growth has several specific purposes. And I'm going to read through this. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going over this and explain it. I'm just going to read it so we'll have time to take our spiritual gift test. One, letter A, one purpose is to communicate the spiritual growth process the way Jesus did in a simple way. I preached a sermon on order. Okay? God is a God of order. Most churches, including ours at times, are cluttered. Our lives are cluttered. Okay? Our closets are cluttered. Okay, clutter hinders the work of God. What we're trying to do is be as orderly as we can, so when someone comes in the church, they get saved, they have a path without a bunch of tumbleweeds, without a bunch of rocks, that they feel like as soon as they get in the church, we can walk down that path and grow. Usually we say, start reading your Bible and praying and serving the Lord, and that's good. But we want to make the path even smoother, okay? Jesus was simple in his way to communicate spiritual growth. Letter B, the other purpose is to make spiritual growth simple, to just help people grow. Next bullet. And pollsters don't dictate what we do, because a lot of times pollsters, you know, who are they polling? But sometimes they're helpful. Christian pollsters have said the churches where the people are growing in the Lord, which causes churches to grow. When people are growing, they stay in the church, they love God, they help others. But Christian pollsters have said that churches where the people are growing in the Lord, which causes churches to grow, are also churches with a simple spiritual growth process. Next bullet. They also say that churches that have no simple process are usually struggling in spiritual and numerical growth. Too much clutter. Next bullet. These same people say also that new people are also attracted to churches that have a simple growth process. They say that life is so complicated in this culture that if they go to church and spiritual growth is simple, it motivates them more to grow. And it motivates them to stay. They're like, man, that church there, it's not all confusing. You know, and here we have four steps. Okay? Number two. You know what? We're going to skip number two for time. Go down to number three, please. Tonight, as we start our discipleship journey, we're going to give you your discipleship booklet tonight. We want to begin with the end in mind. That is step four. And I don't want to confuse you, and if you're new in our church, that's okay. You're going to get it if you stick around a little bit. Step four, okay, we have step one, loving God. Step two, loving others. Step three is serving God. Step four is serving others, doing the work of the ministry. So tonight, we're going to push in this booklet that I'm going to give you all the way to step four to say that's where we're going. Begin with end in mind, okay? When someone gets saved, God has a purpose for them. It's not just to deliver them out of hell. It's not just for them to have fellowship with God. And, of course, those are important. It's also to help them to get involved in the greatest work in the universe, God's work. Red Cross, I'm sure they mean well. All these agricultural missionaries, I'm sure they mean well. But doing the work of God, scriptural work of God, is the greatest, the most rewarding work in the world. So we're gonna Brother Ross gave a great devotion, very short, great devotion on the job site today on just the Old Testament servants or slaves. And, you know, after 6 years, they had a choice. They can either leave, or it said, if they love their master, they can stay. And many of them stay because they did love their master. It's a choice. And we have a choice. Once you're saved, you don't have to serve Jesus. But we get to serve Jesus. What a privilege it is. The ultimate goal, the little bullet on number three, is to have all of God's people abiding in Christ and glorifying Him. Next bullet. The fruit of this will be His saints doing the work of the ministry. That's a fruit. You don't grab someone by the neck of the neck and say, man, you need to do the work of God. No, it's the fruit. It's the fruit of step one, step two, step three in our process is step four, doing the work of the ministry. Okay? Letter A. God's goal in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 is that everybody in a local church has a ministry. That's God's goal. Letter B, it is our responsibility to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, perfecting them or equipping them. Look at the bullet. Most churches have 80% of ministry being done by 20% of the people. By the way, you know what it does? It burns a bunch of people out while a bunch of people get spiritually fat. Okay? They call it the Pareto principle. Okay? We as God's people, we can defy the Pareto principle. Okay? We don't have to have 80-20. Letter C. We are going to start with spiritual gifts. tonight. We'll take the test. We'll grade our spiritual gift test. We will let you know where you might be best used in ministry. We won't get all that done tonight, but we're not in a hurry to do this process. And then letter D, we also are doing all of this so that you, as a Thursday night, if you're here on Thursday night, you're a faithful person, okay, you love the Lord. Otherwise, you'd be home watching I Love Lucy. I don't know if I Love Lucy. Is I Love Lucy still on St. Paul? You don't know. It's on YouTube, right? Okay. We get everything on YouTube. Kung Fu. YouTube. Okay. But we also are doing all of this so you as a Thursday night faithful member will be able to help others with the four steps. Let's see. Brother Cody, come on up here. Let's say Brother Cody's a new convert. He smells like a new convert. Okay? What we want, and I believe God wants it, is when a new convert comes in, you don't have to have a degree in theology to help him get on the path of spiritual growth. One reason we're doing this through the whole church, and we've done discipleship for years and midweek service, you go in a room, there's coffee and some, but we're going through the whole church because we want everybody in the church, as soon as one of those new adults come on your bus, you're like, I know what they need to do. Step one. Well, we know they need to get saved, they need to get baptized, they need to join the church, and then they need to get in a Sunday school class, and then they need to go through discipleship. Okay? So, have a seat. I just did that because I saw you sleeping. By the way, Easter, Brother Myers mentioned, Easter's just around the corner. You know what Easter does? It brings in new people, lost people, wayward Christians. When they come, we don't want them to just be an Easter lily. Whoosh, open up and leave. We want to be, but by the time Easter comes, we want to be prepared. So when all these new people come, we're like, hey, we need to get them on step one for Jesus. Okay? Mother's Day is the same. Okay? Now, by the way, March 24th, we will have what we're calling Ministry Involvement Sunday. We're going to have all out in here, all around the church. How many have ever been to a job fair? Raise your hand, a job fair. You know, they're trying to get you jobs and so forth. We're going to have tables with every ministry, PA ministry. Get your table ready, okay? They give you free checkers at that table because that's what those guys do back there, okay? Every ministry is going to be represented, and on that Sunday, we're going to invite everybody to visit the ministries, okay, so that they can take that step to get involved in the ministry, okay? Now, we're going to do this. Hannah, can you get up at the panel? We're going to pass a few. This is what we want you to do. We're going to, and I'll explain it, open your booklet up to page 39. There's 50. By the way, you're going to turn this back in tonight. I'll tell you why. You're coming next week. We're going to give it back to you. Now, if you really want to hold on to it, and really, I'm not saying I don't trust you, but it might be hard for you to bring it back. We want to give it back to you next week. If you want to hold on, it's fine, but we're going to collect them if you want. Page number 39. Now, what you're going to do, look up here just a minute. Once you get to 39, look up here a minute. This is not a good, bad test. Don't fool yourself. I did this today. I got a bunch of them where it says rarely. Here's one rarely. I'm not even going to tell you because you think I'm a bad guy. Here's a rarely. 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 What we're trying to do, we're trying to help you find the gift that God's given you. Because that's where you have a passion. That's where you have a desire. And here's the thing. That's where you're going to be good. Too many times we put a round peg in a square hole, okay? So we're going to take this. Don't try to get a good grade. There's no good grade. when we get done, you're going to see where your passions are. Okay? So if you look, let's look at page 39, and basically it says, look at the top. This questionnaire is based on the 7 spiritual gifts mentioned in Romans 12, 6 through 8. These strongly influence the way we relate to people and how we may find the greatest fulfillment in the serving the Lord. God gives to every Christian one of these gifts as a major motivation in our service to Him. He may also give one or two other motivational gifts as a secondary preference. We believe there's one main gift. Okay? As we discover our strongest motivational gifts, we begin to understand more fully our strengths and weaknesses and sense our need to depend on other Christians to complement our ministry. You know what we do? We appreciate other people. You know, a lot of people don't like prophets. You say, why? They expose everybody's sin. By the way, prophets are the loudest people in the church. You hit right there. They're loud. A lot of times I'm shoveling them up off the sidewalk because somebody was a prophet and they knocked somebody over. They didn't mean to. Okay, I'm the exhorter. I'm going to give them a solution on how to overcome the prophet in the church. Okay, but we need to appreciate each other. We will discover the areas of ministry where we may find our greatest fulfillment working for the Lord. Third paragraph. It is important to realize that no two individuals have an identical style of ministry. This questionnaire is intended only as a means of helping you discover your own gifts. Avoid applying the characteristics too rigidly when answering the questions. Instructions. Number one, read through the list of 70 statements. I did this today, did it, and graded it in 15 minutes. Now, we'll give you 20. Okay, if you need more than that. We're going to do it together because I want everybody to do it. Okay? Read through the list, 70 statements, and place a check beside the answer, which is most appropriate for you. Usually true, sometimes true, seldom true, rarely true. Again, there's no good and bad. You're trying to find who you are. Be honest with yourself, okay? Don't try to get a 5 for everything because if you are, there's not a spiritual gift of lying. Okay, so that if you got all 5s, you're fibbing, okay? Number 2, after completing the 70 statements, transfer the numerical value of your answers to the tabulation chart. I'll explain you how to do that, okay? Then add the scores horizontally in each line and record the total at the right. Number 3, the total will help reflect your spiritual gift. Your primary motivational gift should be indicated by the largest number of points. By the way, mine is so higher than all the other ones. That helps me understand who I am and how God's gifted me. It doesn't mean I'm good. It means God gave me that gift. Number 4, be completely honest in your answers. There are no right or wrong answers, and answering honestly will help to accurately gauge your spiritual gift. Okay? So you're going to take this, then look over to page number 42. What you're going to do, okay, look on 42. You see the little box with number 1 through 70 with the 7 spiritual gifts. You see that at the bottom? Number 1, upper left-hand corner, that's number 1. Now, number 1, my number 1 was seldom true. So I got 1 point. Do you understand that? So I put a 1 in the number 1 box. Number 2, I got sometimes true. So that's 3 points. You see in the parentheses, there's 3 points. So on number 2, I put 3. On number 3, I got sometimes true. And so I put a 3 there. Okay? Does anybody have a question about that? Y'all got that? If you have a question, you can ask me or ask a neighbor. Any questions? Okay. Put your name on the booklet. Please put your name. It's on the front. There's a place. It says name. Put your name on there. Make sure your name's on there. That's number 1. Then let me do this. This is just for the fun of it. How many here are your number 1 gift is mercy? Raise your hand. Mercies. Leave it up. Leave it up. Leave it up. These are all the animal owners. These are the people you want to visit you in the hospital right here. They'll love you and cry over you and hug you. Okay, mercies. Man, you're a mercy, Maria? Joseph, you're a mercy? I know you're not. Okay. You shoot him and your wife picks him up, right? All right, let's go next. Teacher, how many teachers? Ah, the critiquers, the very smart people. Right here, all the very smart people. Good. We'll call you the Bereans, okay? Wonderful. How about prophets? Oh, you're killing us. Brother Ray, leave it up, prophets. Prophets. The wives are putting their husbands' arms up, okay? Joseph, you're a prophet? You would have never known it. Givers. We have one in the whole church. Oh, Hermie, good. Exhorters. All the problem solvers. Pastors. Make good exhorters. Good. Servers. Oh, good. You need a lot of servers in the church. Sister, Karina, I know your service. Karina lives at the church. She has a full-time job, and then she has two full-time jobs at the church. That's a server, always serving. You got to have a bunch of servers in the church. Organizers. Yeah, Chuck. All right. Okay. How many of you have no gift? Kevin. All right. Now, look up here. Brother Myers, can you come up and help me a minute? We're going to turn these in. You got to come back next week. I know this is midweek service, but next week you can't miss. We're going to turn these in by Sunday school. See, Pastor White, I want you to have these next week. Okay? So, Brother Myers, let's do this.